Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Higher Consciousness, and I trust that each and every one of you had a wonderful holiday this past weekend, and I am so honored to have this opportunity to connect with you this evening. My name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host and creator of the show Higher Consciousness. Currently, I teach psychology, psychologists. I have a private counseling practice and coaching practice. I am a certified Reiki master, energy medicine practitioner, certified metaphysician, holistic life coach, author, certified aromatherapist, and radio talk show host, living in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, more specifically Stone Mountain, Georgia. And I always give the reasons for my developing this show. I wanted to have a forum for discussions about metaphysics, spirituality, holistic psychotherapy, holistic health, holistic nutrition, divine relationships, the law of attraction, divine prosperity, and universal laws, as well as political and social topics. This evening, we have the wonderful opportunity to have two guests on our show, and sometimes I, as your host, am the only guest. But this evening, as I mentioned before, we have two guests who will join us in a few moments. Now, Higher Consciousness is a two-hour show that will allow listeners to delve into topics at a higher vibrational level. The only ground rule is that everyone gives respect when expressing opinions. Now, this rule automatically raises your vibrational level so that you can receive respect as well. So without further delay, I'm going to introduce tonight's topic, and our guests will join us in about 15 minutes. Tonight's topic is spiritual real estate, and our guests this evening are Ms. Lisa Grant Vail and Ms. Donna Brooks. And if you want to join us, please dial 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number to talk to our guest or to myself would be 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Those of you who are on the Internet, you will still have to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 to join the discussion, because there are some people who are calling in and some people who are listening via computer. Only one call at a time. Again, this is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin, and my purpose is to connect with you on a soul-to-heart level, heart-to-heart level, and soul-to-soul level. This is not a show for intellectual debates. Instead, this show is dedicated to those who truly want to learn and grow spiritually and to heal. Now, last week, our topic was unveiling of the soul. We had 12 live lessons and 25 callers. However, in 1 week, we have had 250 downloads, which means that we've had 250 people who have downloaded last week's show, and they're continuing to download the show. And I'm so grateful to each and every one of you. And as you know, most of the listens happen after the show is over. So if you, for whatever reason, are unable to listen live to a show, feel free to listen to the archive shows, because the shows remain on my website indefinitely, and that's when most people listen. Okay, since October 22nd, 2012, we have had 42,091 listens, which includes the live calls. Again, let me repeat that. We've had 42,091 listens, and this is only in 13 months. So as I said before, if you are unable for whatever reason to listen to a show live, you can always go to the website and you can listen to any of the shows. And you can invite your friends and family to do the same. And what I always do is I recap what transpired on the show prior to the show that is airing tonight. So last week we had Unveiling of the Soul, and our guest speaker was Miss Keisha Wood, who is a spiritualist and soul coach. And throughout most of her life, Keisha experienced soul challenges that resulted in poor choices, insecurities, and self-abuse. And she felt that the world was against her and that God had abandoned her, leaving her broken. Keisha was once told that she could see all the dots, but she just had not connected the dots, meaning she was unable to see the bigger picture. So this woman embarked upon a self-discovery journey to connect the dots, to reveal the beauty of her essence that everyone could see but Keisha. Now, researching her life back to her childhood, she discovered the source of her wounds. And during this healing journey, Keisha discovered that it was she, not the world, that was against Keisha. She was in her own way. So Ms. Wood began to see the spiritual side to life, people, and experiences. And as a result, her perception began to change, and the lotus of her soul began to bloom. Now, 8 years later, Keisha has grown to embrace her emotional wounds. Embracing her emotional wounds in her past proved extremely healing. And in doing so, she gently stepped into her divinity, which enabled her to discover her spiritual gifts and life's purpose. Keisha Wood now fully accepts her spiritual gifts, and she is a spiritualist, and an exceptional one at that, and a soul coach, aiding and coaching women who have experienced abuse and neglect. And if anyone wants to get in touch with Keisha, she gave her number last week, but I always give the number again. Her contact number is 678-465-7378. Again, Keisha's contact number is 678-465-7378, and she was our guest last week. This evening, I have the wonderful opportunity to have on the line two exceptional women, and I've not talked about this topic in the year and 1 month that I've been on the air, which is real estate and real estate from a spiritual perspective. Our topic tonight, again, is spiritual real estate. And we have two exceptional women who are going to join us in a few minutes. But what I want to do before having them join is give you some information about these two exceptional women. And they both are spiritual real estate entrepreneurs. Okay? That's a new title. I want all of you to get this, what I'm saying to you, is very, very different than a regular real estate investor or a regular real estate person. These two women are spiritual real estate entrepreneurs, and they're going to talk more about that later on when I bring them on the line. Now, Lisa Grant Vail and Donna Brooks approach their real estate business the same as any aspect of their lives, as spiritual goddesses, with love, compassion, God, spirit, and a healthy dose of metaphysics mixed in. Doesn't that sound phenomenal and exceptional? Now, I want you to listen to tonight's presentations to see and hear how they bring their spiritual practice into their real estate practice, from energy clearing and prayer to meditation and visualization. Now, they're coming from a metaphysical perspective, not a religious perspective, because that's very different. Religion and metaphysics and spirituality are very, very different. So what they do is they use energy clearing, prayer, meditation, and visualization to help their clients co-create their highest and best lives. So what they do is they bring their metaphysical perspectives in so they have their clients see beyond limitations, because clients who have challenges on their credit reports or clients who have challenges within their finances or whatever would think small. And with these two exceptional women, they have you think outside of the box. They have you stretch your limits, and they have you see that there is no limit in terms of the universe. So, and they will share real examples of the miracles and blessings they have personally witnessed when God, Spirit, the Divine is brought into a transaction. And Lisa and Donald will offer tips and advice for miraculous, prosperous, and in-the-flow real estate interactions for like-minded listeners and like-spirited listeners. And Lisa and Donna are also very passionate, and you're going to hear this passion from these two women. They are just so passionate about what they do, and you can feel it, and you know it's just not about making money for them. They care about their clients, and they're very passionate about creating what they have coined tribal green communities, and are looking for others who share this dream. So if the idea of living in a healthy, Mother Earth-friendly home and a supportive and nurturing environment appeals to you, then you are going to stay parked right here at this station to listen to these two women and their excellent and extraordinary accounts. Now, I'm going to bring them both in at the same time, but before I do that, I want to introduce each one separately. Let me just tell you something about Lisa. And I had the opportunity of meeting Lisa a few months ago, and I was really, really impressed with her, and we've had several conversations. She's just a vibrant, vibrant, exciting, joy-filled and joyful person. Now, Lisa Grandvale spent 10 years as an actress in Washington, D.C., New York, and Los Angeles before her love of all things home led to an exciting new career as a real estate investor, renovator, and realtor. It started with a 1920s Spanish bungalow she and husband George lovingly restored with a dozen more architecturally diverse renovations, and a design book to quickly follow. So with every new project, Lisa came to realize the responsibility she had to pass on an energy-efficient, planet-friendly, and healthy home for future inhabitants to enjoy. And that just really tugs at my heart, because, you know, I'm a certified aromatherapist, and all of my products are green products too, because I believe in giving back to the planet and making us healthier as a human race. And Lisa is committed to this as well. And her interest in real estate is reflective of that, because that's what she does with her projects in terms of making green homes, and green meaning eco-friendly homes. The most exciting project to date has been the building of her award-winning green home. Lisa's often sought out as a curb appeal expert after the publication of her book, Creating Curb Appeal. So for those of you living in Georgia or in any space where you have land, and even my listeners in New York City, you have a little plot of land outside of your condo or whatever, you can buy Lisa's book. We encourage you to buy her book. Her advice on this subject has been featured in the AJC, which is the paper here in Atlanta, MSN.com, and Realtor Magazine. Now, Lisa loves to write about green living in a very unpreachy way on her blog, Eco-Awesome. AWESOM. So check out her blog, Echo Awesome, which is about to become a TV show on Georgia Public Television. So, you know, we're going to support this phenomenal lady. She has a commitment to the earth, commitment to us, and providing you with real estate and curb appeal projects that will enhance your neighborhood, enhance your home, and enhance your life. So when she comes on public broadcasting television, make sure you tell all of your friends about it. She's going to give you more information about that. Lisa is an active member of Unity North Atlanta, performing in the Music and Theater Arts Ministry as a Sunday school volunteer. Now, I want you to remember all that wonderful information, because Lisa's going to recap on this too when I bring her in. But I wanted to give you her information as well as Donna's, because I'm bringing them both on at the same time. And I want to get so engaged in talking to one person, then forget to do the introduction for the other person. So now, Ms. Donna Brooks, I met Donna about 2.5 years ago. And when I first met Donna, I was just so impressed with her effervescence and her vitality and her just warm spirit and heart. She and Lisa just exude compassion and love and commitment for the planet, for everyone. There's no way you can be in their presence and not feel it. And Donna Brooks has officially been in the real estate business since 1980, though you might really say since birth. Her father has been one of Georgia's top developers for many years, and little Donna would tag along with her dad and absorb his knowledge as he scouted properties. Now, by the time she was 20, Donna was building her own houses. By the time she was 20, she had built over 400 houses as one of Atlanta's first women builders, and that is really, really noteworthy. So you would be talking to a pioneer this evening. After she became a single mom raising two small children, she knew she needed to segue from the time-intensive job as a builder into a more flexible career that would and could include her family. She heard through prayer and meditation that land sales was the way to go. So in 2003, Donna became an agent and broker of her own real estate firm, Heart and Soul, S-O-L, specializing in land sales and development. Donna brings her humanitarian and philanthropic spirit to all she does and has a special passion for helping teenagers with addictions, ending sexual abuse, and protecting Mother Earth. She is a longtime member of Unity North Atlanta and is a very active supporter of Dream Power, an equine therapy center that helps people of all ages and life experiences in their recovery and healing. So now, having given you some background information about these two exceptional women, without further ado, I am bringing on Ms. Lisa Vail and Ms. Donna Brooks. Greetings, ladies. How are you?
Oh, hello, Jamila. How you doing, girl?
I am doing exceptionally well. How are you doing?
Can I just say, like, we are sitting here beaming because of all those kind things that you said. I mean, you were just a joy riser. I mean, we are like, we get this, how you were just saying about how much we, you know, the dudes, all these things. We were just, like, beaming and blushing, and that's our hearts are bursting. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
I was speaking the truth. I was just speaking the truth. I am so excited about having the two of you on and to talk about your ventures. And not only that, you just bring such a freshness and vitality and a sense of integrity to real estate, which can be a very interesting career, as you know. And so
that's
just so absolutely so very, very pleased to have you on as spiritual real estate entrepreneurs. So, without further ado, I will have Ms. Lisa Vail talk first, if you would like, and then I will have Ms. Donna Brooks. And what I do myself, basically, is to, rather than doing Q&As, because I think Q&As really kind of cycle people, so I just want people to know you, to feel you as full beings without Q&As, asking you a question, you're giving me a predictable answer. So, Lisa,
right.
I've given some information about your background. Just tell us, I know that you renovated your 1920s bungalow, but tell us about Lisa. Where are you originally from, and how did you make that transition from acting to real estate? Because that's really interesting.
You know what, that is a really great question, because, you know, it was acting that took me out to Los Angeles initially,
mm-hmm.
But I was so glad that that path took me there, because even though I didn't end up staying with that, I had fallen in love with fixing up houses, with buying houses. I always bought ones that really, really needed love. And it gave me so much joy to be able to bring that home back up to, you know, its former glory. And these, you know, these weren't fancy houses. These were just little bungalows. That's really my passion. I always love really affordable homes. And so I just, like, a new passion was opened up to me. Frankly, like, a lot more, I had a lot more passion and interest at that point than I had in acting, because at that point, you know, I wasn't really quite far along on my spiritual journey as a young woman in my 20s, still very, you know, vulnerable, you know, emotionally, and that's a tough business, acting is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Especially when we're in the big time there. You know, you go in for an audition, and, you know, you're all excited about it, and then you go in, and there's, you look around and there's 50 other young women of your exact age, curly blonde hair, blue eyes, and maybe even in your mind, a little prettier, a little skinnier, a little more prepared. And it would be very interesting, actually, to go back to that time with who I am now as a woman, and with my newfound, you know, spirituality and sense of self and connection, to, you know, tackle that world again.
Mm-hmm.
In a whole, it would be a whole different ballgame. But nevertheless,
well, and also, yep. If I can put this in there too, is you had that your perfect path of being an actress is taking you, you know, on your incredible journey.
Absolutely.
To today, you know, with,
that's actually, you know, all I was about, you know, was going to say is that, you know, we're all in the perfect place. There is no shoulds or holies. I mean, it was exactly how it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got into real estate. And like what Donna's saying is actually it's kind of cool how it's all coming back in, you know, with this opportunity, you know, now to do a television show, which was something I would have, you know, given my left arm for back when I was acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to leave that business and really go follow my passion and, you know, be of service, really. I think is what it is. I just had to go just be of service and be of help to the world. This is what I, you know, kind of think I'm trying to do, especially when it comes to the environment and helping people get more aligned with that, that's all kind of coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so where are you from originally?
How I started. Yeah. So I'm from Maryland.
You're from Maryland?
I'm from Maryland.
Okay.
I'm from Maryland, D.C. area, and then I lived in New York City for a couple of years. I was actually telling Donna last night, because she didn't know this history. I'll try to keep it kind of brief, because sometimes I can be a long-winded storyteller. but because she didn't know about, like, when I went to New York, I had gotten accepted into NYU, as a transfer student, which they only take about 10 people. And I was always, from the time I was 18, I was on my own. So, you know, my parents were never had been able to afford to, you know, care for us. You know, once you, you know, you left the nest, 18, you're on your own.
Exactly, exactly, right, exactly.
Yeah, and they didn't have the money, you know, to help us. So I went to college, you know, lots of college. I never finished. My husband, you know, sometimes we joke, and he was like, honey, you really gave it a good try. You know, I wasn't really... 6 years, different places. I tried very hard, but it's all good. But so I had gotten accepted when I was like 24, you know, on my own to go to NYU to study acting. I had already been acting, you know, there in the local community in D.C. and Maryland, and gotten to the unions and everything, and you know, had a little, you know, success with that. And of course, I was waiting tables, and I was a makeup artist. I had actually a lot of neat things I did. And businesses that I dabbled in and learned about as a temp, and you know, all kinds of things that all I'm sure come in handy today. But when I went up to New York, I had, you know, very little money. My grandmother helped me out with the first semester, and I had saved a lot of my own money, you know, working full time. And it was like a week before school was supposed to start, and I had nowhere to live. You know, because I certainly couldn't afford, you know, to actually live, like, on the campus at NYU.
Mm-hmm.
And So my grandma would help me at least get this far, and I went up there, and I had to live in a youth hostel for a time, which was a pretty neat experience. It was all very, very scary. Remember, I was a young girl all by myself
right.
in my early 20s going to New York. But I had just a dream that was so strong, I was like, I had to do it. And I was really frightened about that idea that I was, you know, was going to live at this youth hostel. But, you know, from the first night, I actually met all of these amazing young women from all over the world. And it ended up being the coolest blessing. And I ended up not having to stay there very long at all because then a friend who had moved up there to New York, and I had reached out to him and I had told him, you know, that I was really needed somewhere to live. And out of the blue, you know, he called me and he said, you know, I just kind of passed this information on to a couple of people and a friend of a friend of a friend. We heard that she was losing her roommate. And I don't know, you know, here's her number. Why don't you just call to see if that is possible, that there might be something to it. So I call her, and it turned out that she was very, very spiritual. She was probably one of the first spiritual people I had ever met, you know, at that point in my life.
Sure.
And she had prayed to God, like moments before I called. She had prayed and said, God, please send me somebody, a wonderful person that we can get along, that she had very little money, so to not have somebody sharing that rent even for 1 month would have really been a hardship. Please just send me the right and perfect person. And then bring, I call on her phone.
Wow, you're talking about a divine appointment and divine timing. That is so, wow.
Yeah. And it was something I had forgotten all about until we were just talking and kind of thinking about things we were going to talk about on this. And it was a story I'd never shared with her, and it just reminded me that, God's got her back.
Yeah.
And I never, all the time that I was there, when I think about it, I waited tables at night, like till 2 in the morning down in the village, and I would walk home, walk to the subway, because I lived down in Astoria, by myself, and, you know, with like $100 in my pocket. And then I would be too tired. I would, you know, you're supposed to, if anybody lives in New York, I think you said you had some people from New York on here, or if you've spent time there, you know, you're supposed to late at night, you're supposed to stand in a certain area so that way you're all clustered together and you're more safe. Well, I would never do that because I was too tired from waiting tables. So I would go sit, like, with the homeless man, like the smelly homeless man, me and him, like, on a sharing a bench and reading, like, totally absorbed in my reading. to get back on the subway, and I swear not a single thing ever happened to me, not a one in my 2 years of living there. I think that now, like I had an angel, I have an angel, or I have a something.
And also, so you didn't have the spirit of fear, because when people lodge that in their brains, you magnetize that to you, and so you didn't think about it, so it couldn't be magnetized to you, and you had all the other spiritual beings around you, which said all is well. That is so phenomenal.
Absolutely.
So from New York, then how did you get to marry your husband in California, and then get into? So did you act on? You acted a little bit, went out to California, and then
Then George, my husband, you know, he's been with me ever since. Actually, way back from Maryland, you know, 20 years. So he actually went with me in all these places. It was really awesome. Well, we decided it was actually the coldest winter. It was so freezing, freezing cold that year when I graduated my, you know, couple years that I was there at NYU. And we decided that we were going to head on off to a warmer climate, and that's how we went out to Los Angeles. And also, of course, I wanted to try to do films and things like that. But interestingly, as soon as I got there was when that big, can't remember how long it lasted, several years, but that big actor strike happened. And I was already in the unions, so I got out there and, like, couldn't even act for, like, 3 years.
Wow, for three years?
It was really interesting. I can't remember how long it was, but it went for a good couple years. I don't know if anybody remembers this. If there's any actors on here, I feel like I've kind of blocked it out of my memory, but it was a really long time. So it was kind of an ill-timed time.
God's perfect time.
But that's right. Donna just said, you know, God's perfect time. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, also during that time when I was out there was year 2000, And, when September 11 happened, we had just bought that first little house that you had, spoken about, that little bungalow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, interestingly enough, to help the economy and all, if all of you all remember, George Bush, basically seriously cut the interest rates, which was really great for real estate, for anybody who mm-hmm. then got into real estate. And a great example just of community coming together. Like Don always reminds me, there's so much we can do when we come together than alone. Sometimes I need reminders of that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But several of our friends, we all got together, and we all had equity in our home. We all each had a little bit of equity, right, because the prices were rising, as they're doing
mm-hmm.
again. Actually a pretty good
mm-hmm.
time again in real estate, but we'll talk about that. And we brought our money together, and that's when we started to buy some little houses together that we would fix up and, restore and, flip. The old classic
mm-hmm.
sell up flipping, And
mm-hmm.
and then that's how we really started to make some money, like the first time any of us ever had, actually had some money. It was a really awesome, special time. And that's pretty much, that is how I got into real estate. I just fell in love with that because I was the one that was the general contractor, the head designer, and I was able to quit my day job, the
wow.
crappy job I had to have because I was acting. And I was now, this was the first time that I, had my own, awesome job. It was my own business with other people.
Mm.
And pretty much I've never looked back. Once I came here to Atlanta, I ended up getting my real estate license. And expanding from there, but that, in a very long-winded way, is how I got into real estate. The end.
Okay. Okay. And I'm going to have you join Donna in terms of the eco-friendly part in a few minutes, and I want Donna now to come in. Okay, Ms. Donna Brooks, who is Donna Brooks? Tell us, give us a mini view of Ms. Donna Brooks. How I gave information about the fact that your father was a prominent builder here in Atlanta, and you would tag along with Dad. And so it was in your blood. It was in your veins. And so you are a native Georgian. We know that. And
yes.
But even though Dad was in real estate, because I know your wonderful, beautiful sister, too, and she's not in real estate, what prompted you to go into real estate to follow Dad's footsteps?
Well, I think it was in me very, very young, and really it was not so much about real estate at the beginning. It was really about spending time with him, and, because on Saturdays he'd go look at the subdivisions. Every Saturday he'd go around to every one of his subdivisions, and he still does that, and check, everything out on the weekends and stuff, and so he'd say, who wants to go with me to ride the subdivisions, and there's seven of us kids total, yours, mine, and ours, but yeah, that's another story. But anyway, and so my other brothers and sisters will be like, no, I'm watching cartoons or whatever else, and I would get in the car and go with him, or the truck and go with him, and he'd whistle and we'd sing and he would teach me all about the building business. So I think it was divine from the very beginning. And I, didn't get that many times to feel special with my dad,
mm-hmm.
especially with horses and stuff like that. He was gone a lot. So that was my special time to be with him. And then I think it kind of solidified in me, big time when I was at Emory University, and I was in business school there, and I was taking speech, which, just terrified me, but I had to take it to graduate, and I'm still, scared of some of this stuff, but, definitely getting better because, I share about my passion, so, but anyways, and so this guy, he knew I was terrified and everything, and he said, your last speech is about something that you're really passionate about, and so I was like, I'm going to write a speech about building, and and so, oh, yeah, so And I did so much research, and, you know, and I did several other projects about building before then. And so I really went for it, and I was terrified to get up there. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And he kept asking, other people to go up, and I was like, he'd ask me, and I'd be like, oh, let somebody else go, you know. And so I finally got up there, and I made it through the speech, but the passion was there that, you know, that's what I wanted to do. And I felt good about that. And I finished my speech. It was definitely the best one that I did. And he was like, I mean, seriously, this is in front of the whole class. He was like, what? Women cannot be builders. That's what he told me. Okay? And women cannot be builders. He goes, and then he's like, oh, well, what are you going to do? Pick up a hammer and nail and blah, 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 you know. And I was like, no, really, really smart, profitable builders get great subcontractors to do that. Because, yeah, that's what I told him right then and there.
that was why. And quick on your feet, quick on your – excellent, excellent.
I know. So, you know, it was like, okay. It was like I think God really was speaking through him. In a way, because, you know, the people that we hate the most are our greatest teachers or people
exactly.
that are bringing that up in us. And I was like, in my mind, I was, you know, because I'm Aries, I'm the baby of the universe, I was born March 22nd, and you can't tell me I can't do something, you know, I mean, so in my mind, I was like, by God, and that's what happened, I am going to build houses. And,
wow.
you know, and that's what happened. I got out of Emory. I started working for my dad for a while. And I said, I'm ready to build houses. And he said, do you really want to build houses? Do you want to be a builder? And I was like, yes. And he said, if you want to do that, then the best way to do that and to really, really learn the business is by being a framer. And he said, get a framing crew and you will learn every bit of the building business, inside and out. So I started a framing crew, and that was extremely interesting. I'm going to tell you right now. Because Friday they brought guns and said, I want my check, and, you know, and then Saturday we had to get them out of jail, and, you know, so. But we built a lot of houses, and I learned the building business. In that year that we did that, and I was ready, and I bought my first lot, and I built my first house, and you said 20, but it was actually 24 years old when I built my first house. My fault, I was the writer. No worries. I was a copywriter. 24 years old, I built my first house, and
wow.
Yeah, the rest is history, you know, started.
Well, how did you manage all that? Because I know you were doing this and then you were raising a family, too. So that must have been, that was a lot. And then the supports that women have now in 2013, you didn't have that, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. So how was it? And like you talked about the discrimination that women faced in the industry, and you were one of few women builders in Atlanta.
I know.
So you, like I said before, you're a pioneer. So how was that? What was that like?
You know what? Thank you. God had a plan. You know, I thought I was going to have children early, and I didn't. I ended up losing children. This is part of my, you know, real growth. I lost three babies before I had my two pregnant. Can't talk about it without feeling it, you know. But,
before I had
my two precious babies. Thank you. God had a plan, you know, and I know those babies, Doreen Virtue came to the Unity, and she came up to me, and she, you know, told me she saw the babies, so they are on the other side. They're very close to me. In fact, I believe with all of my heart that they've re-entered. And so they're here, and they've already, you know, they've let me know in this world that they were my children that came through, and they came through a time, mm-hmm. and they went back with God, and then they came mm-hmm. back again. So, mm-hmm. But because of that, I had time to, you know, really be in the building business and build houses and built over 400 homes and develop property and all that. And, and it was – and then when I did have my family, you know, there was just always ways to work it out. You know, I just always – they always came first. And you were talking about, you know, being a woman in the industry. You know, it's really weird, but I didn't try to be a man, you know.
Right.
I see a lot of women out there,
right.
and they mm-hmm. they think to fit in this world, they got to be a man and to be in business and to make money and stuff like that. And I was just me, which I'm a woman this time. I might have been men other times, but I'm a woman this
mm-hmm.
time. And it was like, you know, maybe it was because I was raised in it too. They had a lot of respect for me, and I really didn't have any, you know, I didn't have any problem with it, with men
mm-hmm.
putting me down or anything like that at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I would say for me too, because when I flipped houses, if, you know, it's all men as a general rule that you're working with, and they were very respectful to me as well, overall. I guess it's your personality that you come in with and your spirit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm really kind. I'm really kind. And
you
Lisa
are.
Is very
you
kind,
are.
Too.
Yeah, I both of you are. And the thing about it, too,
so
is
I would
that
say sometimes. Oh, can I say something real quick? I'd love to actually ask Donna this question, even for my knowledge,
yeah.
especially as I'm wanting to get back into flipping houses. Sometimes, though, I was too kind.
Oh, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's kind of like, I really don't have the other side, you know, the tough love part or the,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm working on the boundaries and all of that. But sometimes, like, people I would say, one problem would be people did take advantage of me, like not show up, or I would give them the money before they, yeah.
Right.
Donna's looking
yeah.
at me like, no, you never give the money before they're finished. I know, but somehow I get talked into doing that. And so I'd love to know how you kind of, you know, as a woman, maybe it's not a woman thing.
Well, basically,
stood up for yourself.
Well, and you know what? It's not even standing up for yourself. It's just educating somebody when you're hiring them. Say, this is the way it is. You don't have a contract. And then it's like, you know, you will get paid when it's complete. If you give
mm-hmm.
them the money before it's complete, it's not very good because they find other jobs to do.
That's right. I know that.
Yeah.
And they don't come back.
It's natural, yeah. But,
yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. So, but
no,
anyways.
There's no incentive.
I'm going to talk to you,
okay. Now, I was just saying that eliminates, in some cases, the incentive. But I was wondering, what the comment I was going to make, Donna, was that you proved your teacher wrong because he had the very sexist attitude and you became, a pioneer in the field of real estate as a builder. And he basically was making disparaging remarks to you when you were giving a presentation. And that was the reason I had asked, how were the attitudes of men once you became a builder? Because before you even ventured into the field, he was making disparaging remarks as a professor at Emory. So it was good that you had the energy. You had a certain kind of energy that you were exuding to the men. And having worked with your dad, too, you probably had a certain kind of energy
exactly.
that people just assumed. And they knew your dad, so people would say, okay, we could do so much, but then you know, your father was well known. So now I want to segue into talking about how both of you, Lisa, you gave some information about this, but how do you bring spirituality into the business of real estate? I mean, that's really curious. When I saw this, I said, wow, how are they able to do that? I know I've heard both of you talk about your spiritual, some spiritual experiences,
mm-hmm.
and then both of you go to Unity in Marietta, but how do you do that, in, as you say, Lisa, without being preachy? Because it's not religious, it's spirituality. So how do you approach real estate with a spiritual, metaphysical perspective?
Well, I guess it's really just our actions and beliefs, and when there's like-spirited people, we can really talk openly. Well, actually, I would say, like, I would feel like I can talk more openly. Donna just is Donna. I really respect that. I have been learning so much about what spiritual real estate is from the year and a half that we have, been partners, because that's really new to me, actually, having who I am, mingling, co-mingling, becoming one with everything I do, and sometimes I'm still a little uncomfortable with it. Like, if we're working with, which we're going to talk about, we definitely want to share about, like, this listing that we just closed on that we had that had so many fascinating stories to it
about it.
That we're going to share, but that person who was not a like-minded person, like law of attraction, he thought that was complete phooey.
Yeah.
He had no interest in that. He didn't want to hear anything about that. He was very attracted to me. I've known him for several years because I'm also known, for my architecture, design, for design and my staging, how I can stage a house and all that. So he's known me for several years, and when it came time to build, to sell his house because he was moving out of the state, that's how he called me. Not because I'm a spiritual, girl or green girl or any of those other reasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm out working with Donna, and it is an interesting moment because Donna, you can't put Donna in the corner. It's like baby in the corner. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about Donna. It makes me uncomfortable sometimes, but that's just my growth, she does not kind of turn off the light for certain people in the presence of who she's with. So, he may have been sometimes a little uncomfortable, but mainly we kind of kept it to ourselves, and we had to do a lot of our work, our spiritual work and our metaphysical work together on trying to sell his home. Because,
What are some examples of doing spiritual and metaphysical?
You want to jump in? Or?
Well, in particular, in this house, this is a real interesting spiritual metaphysical story.
Oh, we jump right to the
it's the way it is. Well, I feel like the way we do one thing is the way we do everything, and I don't categorize my life anymore in my personal life and my business life, because it was taking a toll on me, and I think it's because of the 85-year Aries is in an 85-year cycle, and it's really, this just come in, a couple years ago, whatever, and everybody can feel it. It's about being our true, authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like, for me, I have struggled with that in my life because, different things I've been through in my life. I think, I've been through sexual abuse, which is really intense and stuff. So when you go through that, I think you leave your body a little bit and you become a chameleon.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to just make everybody happy around you, and you want to, do the dance that whoever's in front of you wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do it anymore. I mean, I started on this spiritual journey 18 years ago, and it's taken me some time and stuff to get to this place. But a few years ago, I mean, I remember, it's just like, the way I did real estate has to be hard and it has to be tough work, the way that my dad was talking all the time. God bless him. And I knew I couldn't do it that way anymore, I have a really cool story before we go to Corey's story that's coming to me now, and I'm feeling it, that I should share it. So what happened is I was in, and then
God was like, you're going in a different direction because your kids are really needing you. You've been through a divorce. Your kids are really needing you. I'm not happy. I'm a rebel big time with school systems. I mean, I believe they've been doing it the same way for more than 100 years, and I just don't believe our kids are being honored. So I was really hearing that I was going to homeschool my children. So I'm a single mom, mm-hmm. and I'm built in, and I'm going to homeschool.
Now you can't school your children.
Yeah. I'm crazy as heck, you know. And so it is true. God said, yes, you're going to be homeschooling your children, which was, you know, we weren't the Harvard of homeschools, okay? But, but we healed a bunch of stuff we needed to heal. We broke the chains that we needed of abuse and addiction and since back to the boat in my family. And, you know, we really, yeah.
Oh, that was wonderful.
We broke some chains and it was precious, you know. We did a lot of group work and spiritual work and counseling work. And then, you know, we'd go to the grocery store and we'd add up stuff, and that was our homeschool, you know. And, you know, but we did have a curriculum, okay. So if anybody's listening out there, we did have a curriculum that we got from New Hampshire. So we did do that. But anyway, so God was taking me in a different direction, and I was praying, what am I supposed to do if I'm not building? And God said, that still small voice said, land real estate, very lucrative. And so I was so excited, and I heard, you're going to make $1 million in land real estate. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was like a kid in a candy store, a kid with a new ball or whatever, and I went to tell my dad this spiritual vision, and he poo-pooed on it, and he didn't mean to, but he was trying to protect me. But he was like, land real estate, very, very, very difficult, very hard, very difficult, you know. And he said, oh, $1 million, that's a lot of money, Donna. How are you going to do that, you know? And you have to look at thousands of pieces. You have to go out all the time in the car with the kids, and then you got to get 100 that are interesting, and then for me to look at one, you know, because he only takes the very best.
Right.
And so I went home after that, and I kind of had my head down, but I was on a spiritual journey already, and I was like, God, I know you're good, and I know that isn't true, and I know you wouldn't guide me into doing land real estate if it wasn't where I was supposed to be going. So that first weekend, I was praying about it, but then I got in fear. And so then I got the kids in the car, and we started looking at land. Oh, and I was doing what my dad was saying. And so then I was like, this is just not going to work. And I was just kind of distraught about it a little bit. And within a week and a half, a miracle happened. This man came to my door with a plat in his hand, rolled up, you know. And he said, you looking for land? And I was like, yeah. And I thought my dad had sent him, and we talked about this land. I just assumed my dad had sent him, you know. I talked to my dad. No, I did not send him. You know, that piece of land didn't work out, but I never saw the guy again.
Mm.
But ever since then, Jamila, I have never had to go get in the car and go search for land.
Wow.
Land comes to me.
It
came to me in the mail. Yeah. It came in to me in the mail. It came to me in the email. It comes to me. People call me. You know, so.
You're an open channel. You're an open channel. What you did is you stepped out on faith, and we're not talking about religious stuff. It's like an inner knowing. When you have, you were in alignment with your inner God within, and so it had to show up, and you were not looking to your right at your father, or to your left at some other family members. You stayed true to your inner voice, and that's what's really important about spiritual real estate, which is different than practical real estate, because people would tell you what you had envisioned could not happen. You didn't have the background in the area. You didn't know anyone in the area. So how can you have an acquisition of $1 million worth of land? And you proved them wrong, because you followed your intuitive voice, your inner voice. And that is
right.
So wonderful. So after that, you've been able to acquire land on your without an effort. It's effortless.
Effortless. I mean, absolutely amazing flow to that. It just started coming to me, and I did. I made over $1 million. I did, which was, you know, God just, you know, told me what I was going to make, and I kind of put it out there. So God, I guess we came into an agreement, and it was really precious and really.
But you never doubted it. You never doubted it. See,
well,
that's the thing, too. You were a clear channel, and you moved on it because you knew it felt, you knew, it wasn't that you had any questions about it. You just knew within the essence and the core of your being, and that's what's really different when people are going using their conscious mind as opposed to their superconscious mind, which is the God mind within them and the thing that is forever correct and unerring. And that is, and you were in alignment, like I said before, with your inner, with the God within.
It's so true. And that, before I started making money, that December I had another really, really powerful miracle story. And then after that, I want Lisa to share the story about the Corey and the ancestor. All right. So anyway, so December of that year, I was, you know, still not closing any deals yet, but I was starting to roll with things, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm short money, you know, I'm short money and the kids and Christmas time, and you know how you always think about that at Christmas time more, and but I'm not doing that this year. I'm giving myself, I'm giving, you know, just events and fun things to do and coupons and pictures and poems and stuff because I just, I'm tired of the things, you know. But anyway, so this December, I talked to one of my spiritual advisors, and I'm like, oh, I'm having a tough time. She said, what is it? How much money do you need? You know, and I said, well, $3,000, you know. I just put it, this, you know, like what I needed. It was just like, just came out of my mouth, you know. And so then the miracle started happening. It was amazing. First, I had $1,000 in my personal Donna Brooks account show up. I mean, just like show up in my personal account, $1,000 even. And then I had $1,000 show up in my heart and soul account. And so is this like what, you know, and it was just there. And it was like, you know, and I wasn't even thinking about the $3,000 at all through the, I just kind of let go of what she said, and I was just, you know, living my life in the December and all that. And so that was $2,000. Okay. Then we went to Disney World. My dad took all of us. And my son woke up one morning, Disney World, in the hotel. Mama, I need to work a little. I always got my kids to work, and, you know, I just, like, move your body, have energy. Energy is, you know, is just exchange for money. So, you know, they would always do planting flowers, walking dogs, you know, cutting the yards, whatever else. So they knew that they could co-create abundance. And he was like, Mom, I want to work this morning because there's so many cool things at Disney that I want to buy. And so I was like, son, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, you know, and there's not, you know, a whole lot you can do. So he was sad, but he went downstairs, and when he went downstairs, my dad gave him $250. I'm going to cry about this. $250. And then when my daughter went downstairs, he gave her $250.
Wow.
So that's $500. And then when I went downstairs, he gave me $200, so that's $700, okay? So we're at $2,700, but I wasn't even realizing this until at the end, after the fact. So then this was a couple of weeks later, and I was at my sister's house, Pam, and I love Pam, and I'll talk about her more later because of what she's done for me in the past few years during this economic downturn has just been amazing with her group, We Can. But
Anyway, so it's over at her house. Tomas was little. He was 4 years old, her son. We were decorating the Christmas tree. And so all of a sudden, Pam said, come here, Tomas. And he went over there, and then he gave this to Tia Donna. And he came back, and he gave me a check. And Pam knew nothing about all of this at all. I mean, and I didn't even really add it up until right then. And she gave me a check. And guess how much the check was for?
$300.
Ooh, you're good,
oh, wow.
Jamila. $300. Wow. It'll just make anyone a professor.
Wow. You put the intention out there. Wow.
Oh, my God. I mean, I was just crying, and I looked at the check, and I looked at Pam, and I was like, Pam, why? And I didn't even think about it at the time, either about the $300. I just added it all up later. And she was, look at the line, you know, with the check. It has a little line, and it said on the line, just because.
Wow.
So I got my $3,000.
And this is just such a perfect example. I've been really interested in Abraham work recently. I just love
Abraham
to listen
Hicks.
To my friends been giving Abraham Hicks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
about, like, what happened there. Remember, she said that, you know, she just put it out there. I'd love to have $3,000. And then she didn't really worry about it.
Right.
And so, of course,
exactly.
we think we have to, like, worry and worry and worry, but they talk about how, you know, that rocket of desire is shot out there. And it must come back unless,
right.
you know, you're clogging it in some way, unless you're blocking it with fear, with trying too hard, which is just fear, right? All that
mm-hmm.
Is fear and not really trusting of the laws, you know, the laws of the universe, which is that, you know, you have a desire and it's put forth and it will be returned. So that's what I love about hearing that story. It reminds me sometimes I don't have to try as hard as I think. Sometimes maybe my hard trying it might be blocking,
mm-hmm.
blocking me from
and that's
my
what
design.
Donna had said.
Good.
Yeah, that's what she had said earlier, too, in terms of doing things effortlessly. And you ladies are going to, you know, share with our listening audience the ways in which they can do things effortlessly. And I love these stories about applying spiritual laws, not religious laws, but spiritual laws to life. And we'll be back after this brief commercial break, and I want us to talk about this new project that you've done, that you closed on, and some other things. Hey, stay tuned.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic, certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyendeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hey, everyone, welcome back to Higher Consciousness. This is Professor Jamila Franklin. If you want to join us on this conversation, because I see some callers on the board, feel free to dial 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, if you would like to talk to either Donna Brooks or Lisa Vale, you may call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So now, we've talked about some experiences. We talked to Lisa about, we've heard you give your account of how you left New York and how you had your first spiritual encounter with a former roommate who had prayed to have an excellent roommate, and you showed up, and then how you were just divinely protected and walking the streets of New York, and you never had fear. And so you didn't magnetize any of that to you, and then how you moved from California to Georgia, and you were able to bring all your real estate expertise with you here, and you're becoming more acclimated to the world of spirituality through Abraham Hicks, which is a phenomenal system, and then with your wonderful partner, Donna. And Donna, we've just heard about all your experiences in terms of how you were the first, one of the first female builders here in Atlanta, and you had to deal with a professor at the graduate level when you were in graduate school at Emory who had negative things to say about you, and you still forced ahead because you had a wonderful role model with your dad. But that even though you had that, you still had some challenges being a young mom, newly divorced with small children, and homeschooling your children and starting up a business and then moving out of real estate into land acquisition. And so now, and people can now see your both the foundations that both of you have used, not only in terms of real estate but in terms of your lives. So what is the practice? If I want you to go a little bit into that, and then I want to, within the remaining 54 minutes, I want us to talk about how the listening audience can apply some of these principles to their lives, because people are feeling a bit overwhelmed because you have the high rate of foreclosures and you have people who are losing their houses, and it's just a lot going on, and people are feeling frightened. And so this metaphysical stuff to them sounds nice, but it's really airy and it's not practical. So, but I want us to go back to talk about how you ladies have been applying it, and then the eco-friendly thing, and then give people some practical tools about how they can apply this, and also to call you so they can find out from you, because both of you are real estate agents, and if people are looking to sell their homes, they should get in touch with Donna and Lisa. If you're looking to renovate your homes, if you're looking to buy homes, land or whatever, this is your team. So they have a total package for you. Stage your home, all of this. This is the package. This is the duo that you want to be in touch with. So let's talk about how, and I wanted to get the eco-friendly part in there too, but I wanted to talk about how you have applied to your latest venture, the metaphysical principles, in terms of the closing, because I know, Lisa, you started talking about this person was not into anything metaphysical.
Oh boy, yes. Let's get back there. Which is good. We need to talk real estate. I was thinking
no,
about
it's,
that.
It's all interconnected. It's all interconnected. Yeah. So this
it
last
is.
Show that you did, what happened? Give us some information about how metaphysics and spirituality was brought into your practice.
Yeah, so this is a cool because it's got so many, you know, things in it. You know, thank goodness we are coming back. You know, the real estate market is coming back, in case anybody doesn't know. Things are better, you know.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Which, you know, is the collective energy. The collective energy of the public and the people is feeling more encouraging, right? Because that's really all it is. It's the collective energy. And so there was absolutely no reason why we would have this listing, this home, on the market for, say, June, July, August, like 4 or 5 months in this market. There's homes, and this was a lovely home, that, you know, get sold in the first week or two, have multiple offers in all.
Wow.
We are back to that kind of situation, you know, in certain, you know, areas. And, you know, if it's a great house, except, you know, they say in real estate right now, if it's good, it's gone.
Right.
If it's good, it's gone.
Right.
Because it's just not enough inventory. There's just not enough inventory at the moment.
Exactly.
And so we have this perfect house, and we thought, oh, yes, this is going to be great. You know, we're going to have this wonderful quick sales. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, Donna's here laughing because that, like, just did not end up being the case. Now, remember, this is somebody who does not believe in metaphysical, is not spiritually, you know, based in any ways. And, you know, and I don't know if it necessarily has anything to do with that. But, you know, in my time in real estate, I've been an agent for 7.5, 8 years. And I've never seen where, like, we got 3 offers on that house. Because people came and looked. People came every day. I mean, I've never seen a house that had so many showings that just wasn't sold. But there were 3 offers that actually got put in on that house that got rescinded, where the people just were like, never mind.
Wow.
They barely gave the guy a chance to, you know, the first one, they put it out there, and before he could even counter, they said, you know, never mind, we're taking it back off the table.
Wow.
It was bizarre. And we were doing all of our stuff that we do together, that Donna has us do. Like, when we get together each day and we have listings and we have buyers, Donna leads us, because she's the one that's really awesome with this, and leads a prayer and meditates on them and helps visualize, you know, the highest and best for all the people involved. She sees, she asks that, you know, the right and perfect people who will love this home will come to buy it, and that all highest and best will happen. You know, real nice. Really puts the energy towards each one of these houses. Yes, we were doing all that stuff. Plus, you know, all the traditional things as well, the traditional real estate things that one would do. You know, we had him, well, one of the things he did, he paid for an appraisal at our suggestion so that he knew he would not be overpricing his house, because that's usually, you know, the main reason, you know, my traditional methodology that somebody wouldn't, you know, be able to sell. Usually that's the house is overpriced. He did that at a perfect price. I staged it. I took all of the things. They had a lot of their own personal items. They had too much stuff, and I had them and worked with them and helped them box up just about everything and made that house beautiful.
She is so good at that, by the way. Lisa is incredible at that.
Thank you. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
And, you know, took beautiful photographs, and that's why all the people were coming, all the agents were coming and coming. And then we brought in our general contractor, and he went around and looked and found everything, pretty much, most things that were wrong with the house, and our client fixed them. I mean, he really did everything right for the most part.
Yes.
And, yeah, that house just sat and sat and sat and sat. So then I'll let Donna pick up, like, what she thinks happened, you know, because I'm definitely not an expert in this subject. I just kind of go with the flow here on this. But she, let me let her tell you what she, well,
covered. Well, you were saying stuff, too, about this, too. You're very intuitive, and we were feeling something wasn't right with the energy, and I start talking to my spiritual people in my life, and several people shared with me that there was some type of energy that was in the house that was, you know, holding things back, and it was actually ancestors. Yeah, ancestors were there that of his girlfriend that were, you know, they just really... She didn't really live
there.
Yeah, he moved away, and she stayed there for a while because he had to move with his job. And when I go to see her over there, I'm telling you, she's sitting so far down in her seat, like she was stuck in that house. She was grounded in that house, and her feet were growing roots down all the way to the ground. She wasn't leaving.
because we should add that she was to go with him as well once the house was sold. And so, you know, there's the whole law of attraction thing that says, you know, you can't actually wait for, you know, the universe to bring you what you want, which in her case was, you know, the offer and the sale, and then she'd leave, right? And
right.
go up and start her new place in her new town. Instead, she was like, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to take care of the house and everything until that offer comes. And she was so... just there that I recognized that. I didn't know anything about ancestors, but I recognized that energy was like not telling the universe what you want.
Exactly.
But Donna felt something deeper.
Yeah, and when I meditated on it, I talked to the ancestors that were there, and they had a lot of fear from, you know, other lifetimes and stuff about their lives, and they'd been kicked out of houses or they were homeless. The feeling that I got was that, you know, they really had suffered, and they were afraid that she was going to suffer.
The lady there, that the girlfriend would suffer?
She was going to suffer because she was having to leave that house. And she was very grounded there because Corey doesn't, you know, he doesn't care a lot about the decorating and all of that kind of stuff and spiritual stuff. She was pretty spiritual, and she was, you know, she had decorated everything about it. It was zen. It was very the Orient.
Yeah. They had a lot of Asian things, yeah, so they had a lot of Buddhas. And actually, that's true when I say it wasn't totally like spirited people. Yeah, he wasn't. He was like, oh, that's stupid. But
she is.
But she did. She was great in the law of attraction. So,
yeah.
And I think that's how we helped her. Now, we didn't mention ancestors.
No.
Because that was going a little too far.
We didn't mention the ancestors. We know who to talk to.
But we were able to talk to her about that because she was there, you know, she knew the secret and the law of attraction. And so we were able to put in that term, you know, that idea that maybe it really was time for her to go ahead and move on to her new life that was waiting for her.
Right.
Her exciting new life.
Right.
And we would take care of the house. We
would
look out after the house. And it was after that.
What did you say, Jamila?
Yes.
Then I was just wondering, after you made the connection, then what was the next step? What happened?
She moved.
Well, she did. And she moved, and I talked to the ancestors. I did a ceremony. I went over there and saged the house and did a whole ceremony in the house to just totally honor them and honor her. And you know, I talked to them several times before I, you know, did the ceremony because I didn't even want to do a ceremony without asking them. And
good,
I talked to them.
Good.
And yeah, and they were
mm-hmm.
like, you know, well, I get here, we're here. And I was like, I hear that. And I left them alone, you know, for some time. And I, you know, and then I shared with them again. I said, I think that Jackie wants to be with Corey and Corey wants to be with Jackie. So, you know, and so that's, you know, they're like, yeah, that's probably true, you know, and I could hear them. And it's like, you know, is it time for her to go, you know? And they were like, yes, you know, so they finally let go. And then right after that, within like 2 weeks, we got a contract. The people, and they're moved in. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Praise God.
Wow. So what happens with the two of you, which is really extraordinary for the listening audience, and I, like I said, I have people on the board, too. So if you would like to talk to Donna or to Lisa to find out what may be keeping you stuck in your apartment, in your home, your rental property, or wherever you are, your condo, if you want to leave or if you want to buy something, sometimes it's not just what you see with the physical eyes. It's not a third-dimensional reality. A lot of times it's an energetic thing that's going on, and we're not talking about ghosts or anything like that. The ancestors, you know, are spirits. We're not talking about something spooky.
Exactly.
We're just talking about energy. Everything is energy. And because this particular person, who was a girlfriend of the guy, was so rooted, her energy and everything connected to her kept the house from being sold. So when Donna and Lisa made the connection, they were able to connect with the woman because she was more metaphysical and spiritual, and she was able to release. When things are not coming into your life, be it money, be it a relationship, be it a home, or if you are trying to release something and you can't, there's then something else connected to it. And what the services you guys provide, particularly people are familiar now with the sage, with Lisa, with Teresa Caputo on the Long Island Medium, saging the home. And I have a sage spray that I give to people, to sell to people, to clear the energy for those people who don't like to smell the sage. You know, you can spray, and it does the same thing. But I think that's I don't know of any other team that does what the two of you do. So I'm talking to people.
I've not heard of anybody. I mean, not in this state. There are people or maybe there is. I don't know. But I've seen some other people in, like, you know, California that might be more common to have somebody like that. But it is interesting.
It's definitely new, and I think it's because of the time. I mean, we are stepping into the new world, the new universe. You know, the Mayan calendar ended. The old Earth is, you know, ending, and we're going from the Piscean era into the Aquarian era.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's very new. We're going from Piscean is we got kind of, this will bring perfectly into the tribal green community. So thank you, God, for that. But the Piscean era is more, you're more alone, and we got, you know, very, especially in the United States, very spread out, very isolated in our big homes with a lot of acreage or whatever, even in our cars, you know, we're not tribal. If we were walking, we'd be smiling and connecting the eyes. In cars, it's so, like, you know, disconnected. It is. It's so disconnected. You don't realize that that's a precious human or a baby or whatever in there. It's just like, honk, honk, and let me get where I need to go. So the Aquarian era is about community coming together, tribe, and it's in perfect time because mm-hmm. people are hurting so much, isolated, you know, in their homes by themselves, and we need each other, and the camaraderie and the power and the masterminding and the love and the healing and the support that we get with each mm-hmm. other. And God has taken me in my spiritual quest in so many spiritual community groups. I'm just like, I'm so blessed with the like-minded, like-spirited people that are in my world. I don't have, I can't think of anybody in my world anymore that's all negative and, you know, mm-hmm. like that. And I feel,
well, that's just because, you know, if I'll bring the Abraham Hicks stuff up because it's so fresh in my mind, you just don't vibrate with them.
Yeah, and, they vibrate you know, at their frequency.
Right. That's right. You're not on their same disc, or whatever as they say. You know, Donna's a pretty, you know, pretty neat in the way that she manifests people to her, like through the real estate work. You know, when we have a listing, you know, there's a sign out, and so people can call you, right? Or is that on the FMLS, and agents will call you or whatever. And, you know, Donna has a lot of other passions where she's very passionate in helping, you know, teenagers particularly, you know, with who've you know, have addiction,
sexual abuse.
That's right, and people in general and that. And,
yeah.
And, like, she has a desire, like, to open up halfway houses, you know, for them and things like that. Well, I'll tell you, you know, we'll get a call on a listing, and Donna will go meet that person, you know, someone who called on the sign. And she will call me, and she'll say, almost every time, I swear to God, she'll be like, you won't believe the miracle. The person that I just met, you know, they build halfway houses for girls that have suffered from sexual abuse. And, you know, we're going to find them 10 houses. I mean, she draws these people. I've never met anybody mm-hmm. that does that, so that is such a clear channel to mm-hmm. that.
Well, what I want to do at this time for people who may be interested in talking with you because I see them on the board. You can call 1. The number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Again, the call-in number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. What I want to do, too, is can you give people the contact information for you, your telephone, business telephone number and or website, and we will keep giving it throughout the show.
Awesome. Well, our website would probably be the greatest spot to just go to find our emails and our phone numbers individually, mine and Donna.
Yeah.
And our website is www. I don't have to say that part anymore because that's Heart and Soul, S-O-L, Heart and Soul, realestate.com. Heart and Soul, realestate.com.
So and is spelled out. It's not the, well, the sign. It's spelled out.
It is and. Yes, that's right. That's, mm-hmm. that's a good one. And to help you remember that, it's because we try to bring the love mm-hmm. for the heart and the light, just the soul, the sun, mm-hmm. to everything that we do, to the real estate. And that's actually been Donna's company name as a broker for many, many years. And since we've been a partnership, you know, for a year and a half working together, you know, just under our own names, and then recently we're like, okay, we need to make a website. We need to give this a name. And then we said, why not this wonderful name that you already have that expresses mm-hmm. it? That's pretty well, so there you go.
Well, I think you guys have given us some really good information. And for people in the listening audience, you see how this wonderful dynamic duo, how they bring their wonderful energy to real estate ventures. So when you're wanting to sell, I don't use the word trying because trying, you either do or you don't. But when they bring their wonderful energy to real estate ventures, they look at the total person. They don't just come in and say, okay, we're going to sell the house with an appraisal. They check the energy. They check your energy. They check the seller and the buyer's energy to make sure it's a good energetic fit. They meditate over it. They pray over it. And so what ends up happening is that your property has to sell, or you have to find the right property because the energy is correct. And so many people now are doing a lot of things using hard work. When you get in alignment with spirit, in alignment with the creator of the universe, you do less. You work smarter and not harder. So let's talk about tribal communities. What does that mean? The green community.
That is Donna and my collective dream. Mm-hmm. That's actually when we first met, that's how we connected. Which is actually a neat story, too. I don't know if we have time for it. But when I found out that she wanted to build green communities, and then tribal is a great word that Donna's used, so I think we need to get that, like, trademarked. So it's tribal green communities, that idea of, of creating neighborhoods where people are really connected, different ways that they can connect and help each other. So that is, at this point, a dream. Right now, that is a dream that we're holding very strongly, that we want to bring our collective talents and backgrounds together and start developing using non-toxic, healthy products and great architecture and create shared spaces, small homes, affordable homes that can get maybe at some different price points so that there's people of, all different family structures and age groups and, socio levels. That's a real dream of ours, that there's, like, shared spaces, that there's organic gardening and where people cook together at night and help each other with their kids. I don't know if it sounds too utopian and hippy-dippy, but that's what our tribal green communities idea is.
Well, and tell them, Lisa, I wanted you to tell them about that is already happening, and there already is a group of people that we've been talking to. And we found the land and the builder and stuff, and we're still,
true. When we started to really put our mind to this and think, we could, start making something happen, you put that rocket of desire out there, and some people came to us that actually from a Unitarian church, local Unitarian church. There's been a group of, 10 families that have been meeting for, a couple of years who want to build a neighborhood just like this that they can live in. Or find one. They don't have to build it. Someone else can build it for them. They just want to live there together. And then anybody else that want to live there, too, but have, the Unitarians, I like that group a lot, too, because they're really about loving the earth and loving each other. And even though, a lot of them are atheists or then they're from different backgrounds, this is their basic ideal is just wanting to, to live kindly and, and give love. And so they came to us and said, can you help us? Start this. So we already have a, group. And then as we've been putting it out there, looking for land, looking for, developers, more and more people are like, I want to be in a neighborhood like that. I'm like, what are you doing there? So we have some different folks. Like we have where we approached a developer in Roswell, and we're helping him. Hopefully he is going to build this ideal community the way that we see it, but what we would like to do is actually be in control of one.
right. Well, yeah, and this guy, just to jump in here a little bit, is, we want to do it from beginning to end eventually, but, it's like it's fine right now.
True.
And it is stuck in zoning stuff right now because sometimes in Roswell, especially right now, there's a lot of changes in Roswell, the zoning. So it's in the zoning stuff, but it's like we've been talking to him, and the group has been talking to him, and so,
I think actually there's something with his energies.
Exactly.
Holding it up, thinking it's supposed to be hard, maybe.
Exactly. Maybe so.
Who knows? Well, we'll get Donna on it. She's the one that will suck that out.
And Lisa, too, man. She's powerful, too.
Yeah. Well, both of you are, and people can hear that. Vitality and the energy and the passion, and that's what really makes things happen, because when you shoot, as you say, Lisa, the rockets of desire, and as Donna has talked about too, the visualization is basically setting your intention and just staying focused and not veering to the left nor veering to the right, but just staying focused despite what the appearances are, because your intention and your connection to God, Allah, the Creator, Jehovah, whatever name you want to give that being that's within you, inside of you as well as outside of you, once you say focus on that, it has to happen. Those are spiritual laws. And with my listening audience, they're very much aware of that because, you know, we talk about these topics a lot. So what happens is that you're always creating. You're creating what you don't want through your thoughts, or you're creating what you do want. So what Donna and Lisa are talking about now, they're bringing it on down to third-dimensional reality in terms of real estate, because most people talk about this in esoteric terms. But in terms of something practical like land, how can I get land? No. It depends on the money, amount of money you have in the bank. I don't have connections. No, they're saying by your setting your intention, you then get in alignment with spiritual laws. And like Donna said, the man brought her years ago this parcel of land, and as Lisa said, this guy contacted her about the house that he couldn't sell, and then they came in and they added the spiritual approach to it. There is nothing that is impossible. Nothing. And if you're out in the listening audience and you need help with any part of real estate, this is your dynamic duo, because they bring a spiritual approach. And even if you are not sure about what it is, feel free to go to their website, because they can help you clear up the energy so it can sell, because you can have what you want. You can have the perfect house, the perfect condo, the perfect apartment even, or you can buy it or you can sell it. The economy has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on. There's no recession in the universe. Everything is still going on as planned. So there is no downtime. It's only in our mind and when we believe it. You know, we all have been, we've all had that into our consciousness. So now what they're telling you with something that's the really third-dimensional real estate, they're giving you practical tools. And now they have this wonderful concept called tribal communities, where we're not being isolated as much, and people coming together with the concept of wanting to commune with each other. And I think that's just absolutely wonderful, because I know in the continent of Africa, that's a very common concept in Asia, in parts in country, some countries in Europe, and in Latin America. Americans have United States of America, people here in this country have gotten so interested in being alone, and now we're seeing that people can die in their homes and you would never know until days later because we're so isolated. So we're now, people now coming back, like you said, Donna and Lisa, people forming groups and communities to work together, and you get much more with like-minded people when you're working together, because you're putting the energy, and then the universe responds even faster. So we definitely want you to get in touch with them. So give us more information about the eco-friendly part, too, in terms of being green with the communities, with the tribal communities.
Okay. Lisa is so good with this stuff, and I have a passion for it, too, because we do have to take care of Mother Earth and get rid of our dependence on oil, which, you know, and there's so many toxins in a house and stuff that are affecting our health and well-being, you know, and stuff. And so I've learned so much from Lisa about this, so I want her to talk about that.
And the way that I learned so much about it is over the last several years, well, one, from building my house, I think you'd mentioned it earlier, you know, that actually, during this crazy recession, you know, my husband George and I, we totally zigged when everybody else was zagging. It's kind of crazy that we built our dream house, our eco-friendly modern house that we wanted to raise our children in for the rest of our life, which was, you know, kind of a crazy thing to do when everybody was doing nothing, you know. Everybody was just holding on. And there were moments in that process that it just didn't seem like it was going to be able to happen. You know, it can be costly. It's definitely much, much easier just to buy a house that's already been built. But we had an architect-designed home, and we worked very closely with, and, you know, did all the design, all the interior products, and a lot of things that we did together and with the architect and the builder. And there was this moment where they were just like, this is way overpriced, we're not going to be able to do it. And I was really the one who held the vision. more than anybody, I will give myself props to this, because I had seen that house done. The architect, this is one of the best things. If you ever want to build a house, because a lot of people have that dream, they want to build their own home, is have that architect like do a model or do an architectural rendering where you actually see what that house will look like, not just on on the paper, right, where you just see the room, but actually where you can see it in a 3D model, because that brings it to life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I could see that house. I saw it clear. I did vision work, very strong vision work, where I could see my children and my husband and I sitting, out front, and my children playing when it was completed, and my husband and I, like, raising a glass of something and cheering and just saying and looking at each other and saying, can you believe it? Can you believe it? We did it. Can you believe we're here?
Wow.
And I felt it. I did all that work to make. And so when my husband would say, "Honey, I don't think it's going to happen. Let's just give up," I said, "Nope. I already seen it. I've seen it. It is done. It is done." And like five times I did it. And it took 2 years from when we sold our house and had to go live in different random places to see that house to completion. So I was just throwing in some more, stuff for folks to remember about visualizing and seeing it done. But back to the green.
So beautiful.
It was through the building of that that we knew that if we were going to build a house, we wanted to do it as responsibly as possible. That was a part of our values and ethics already. And so by speccing, so many of the products, I ended up, actually, from all that knowledge, I even started becoming a writer about green building products on Jetson Green, which is a very, very popular blog that has, thousands of followers. And because I was becoming so knowledgeable on this subject about materials, about paint, non-toxic paint, and, sustainable flooring, and all of that. And so there were several products that actually I helped bring to this area, to the South, because they hadn't been here before. And so that actually then helped me become, a distributor of some products. So actually, I think I have it on our website, where you actually even can go to the site with our other real estate, and I brought Donna in on that too, with our other partner in that, to help people actually get these wonderful products for their homes as well. So,
and I wanted to share something real quick in here is if there's any builders out there or anybody knows any builders, Lisa and I, just because we want to educate and protect Mother Earth and educate the public, we want to educate builders. And so if you got any builders, let us know.
Or you are one listening.
Yes. And if you are one listening, then we would love to do a free demonstration to share with you about the green products and how you can do green and how it's becoming very affordable. And it's great for sales. People love it because it's like you're taking care of Mother Earth, you're taking care of their pockets, you're taking care of their health. Builders just need to be educated that it's possible, and it is very possible. When the downturn came, the economic whatever, the illusion we had of the downturn, it was green was just starting to get going, and it just kind of had to just go to the wayside for a little bit. Now it's really coming big time, and people love it.
I hope so.
We are ready.
The interesting thing about about builders, is that they don't like to do things out of their comfort zone. So a lot of the new construction that you're seeing still isn't eco-friendly. Come on, at least do the paint. Put paint in there that people can breathe. And
is the biggest toxic thing in a house is paint, and you can get it. This paint is absolutely no toxins. It feels so good.
She's talking about one that is in my house, which is friends of mine. These people have become very good friends of mine. It's a very small company that is based here in Atlanta. And they have paint. It's actually from Italy because they're the ones who they're just way, way, way far more advanced than we are here in the United States. And they have created paint that this concept goes all the way back to Roman times. It was what they painted the Pantheon. It's breathable. It's made from potassium silicate. It's made from, rock, minerals. And it is just so healthy. So actually, if I can just give a little, little education on this. Most people don't know when you see like low VOC or even no VOC on a paint on a paint can. That only has to do with the greenhouse emissions gases. Like, how does it affect the ozone layer? An important thing, granted, but it has nothing to do with what kind of like asthma triggers are in there or other toxic things that, we're breathing. It has nothing to do with that unless it's a very specific company, and there's some very small companies that are doing their best with that to remove as many of those as possible. And that's one of the things that's in my home that Donna's talking about that she loves so much. That's actually very affordable, and at least at minimum, I'd love to see builders and homeowners using a paint, you know, using at least healthy paint. Why not? Why not? It's time. It's time. I want to put that out there to the universe, to God and all. It is time for us to start doing some of these things. In Europe, they're doing it big time. In other countries, they're doing it big time. We in the United States are kind of behind, and we're just kind of, we think we can, you know, run the whole world or something. I don't know. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, we're just takers a lot. We don't even realize it. And, you know, we have these big Hummers and going around and the, you know, all this kind of stuff, and I know things are changing, but it's time. That's right. We're going to focus on the changes. Yeah, right. Focus on the positive.
You know, Lisa, you have a wonderful book. I went to, in the last, 19 minutes? Well, really, about 15 minutes, because I want to wrap it up. So, I want to, and if anyone wants to join us again, the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. What has happened in some of my other shows, people will call just before we're about to go off the air. If you call now, then we will extend the show into 10. So please call if you want to talk to Lisa or to Donna, so we can extend the show. You have to get on the board. You have to call before the show ends to be on the board. So the number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. So Lisa, in a few minutes that we have left, let's talk about your Curb Appeal book and how people can get your book. And also, talk about your blog.
Sorry, Jamila.
I know. I just
Donna
to...
just had an outburst.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, let's talk about your book and how people can purchase your book. What's the name of your book and the theme of your book?
The book that I co-wrote with Michelle Balagurski, a very good friend of mine, and my sister, who's a wonderful photographer, did most of the photography for, is called Creating Curb Appeal. And it's a design book that's about all the aspects of the front of your home, designing the front of your home from landscaping. I wanted to call it Front Spaces. That was my cool name that I had it, because it's creating curb appeal almost just seems like it's about real estate. And it does have, every single chapter has a real estate perspective in it, but it's actually a really great design book that I interviewed top architects and landscape architects and designers and lighting specialists, color specialist. I mean, it was like I got a graduate degree in design. It was really a very, very cool opportunity, wonderful opportunity for me to meet all these people to learn about design and about the architecture of your home and how to make changes, you know, gracefully to them, and how to bring all the color, you know, all the color together. One of my favorites that I was really passionate about was creating livable spaces out front. Because, you know, where I came from in Los Angeles, we had a lot of where you lived on a hillside. As a matter of fact, my new home is on a hillside. And we have a good deck, you know, that out back, but we don't really go out there that much. We really do live outside, and we created a courtyard space out front. So that's one of them that I'm most proud of, is that chapter about how to find spaces that aren't just about the backyard. And by coming out front, that's where you connect again. That's how you connect your community. Sitting out, that's why the front porch was such a wonderful thing. And that went away, you know, in the 1950s and 60s. Even though I love that modern, mid-century modern architecture, the downside of that was that you no longer had the front porch. It was all about the back patio. right? Mm-hmm. And your fenced yard, and then you had your patio, and it was all about barbecuing back then. That was what was really popular. And the people were no longer on the streets. And you had those lawns, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we really lost that connection to the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can they get this wonderful book? How are they able to get this book?
You can get it on Amazon. Is one of the best places, and BarnesandNoble.com also has it. That's the two best places that you can get it. It's about $18 or $19, depending on what they're running on Amazon. Things always change.
Okay.
But
and the name of the book again?
The name called Creating Curb Appeal. Creating Curb Appeal.
Creating Curb, C-U-R-B, Appeal, A-P-P-E-A-L.
Yeah, good old Curb Appeal. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and give them your name again, Lisa, so they would know how to look it up.
It's under Lisa Vail.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Vail, V-A-I-L.
Okay,
V
so
as in
V-A-I-L.
Like Vail, Colorado.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm. Yep, like Vail, Colorado.
Okay, so Lisa Vail. So the other thing that I want us to talk about is you have a PBS television show that you are working on.
Yes, yes, and that's one that I'm always constantly having to keep the light, and it's been a very interesting journey to practice all of my, you know, really all my spirituality on this because it's been trying, because it is something I'm so passionate about and I want to do so badly, and I totally co-created that opportunity where I came together with the folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting, the producers, the in-house producers, and we decided we're going to do a show about green living. It's about just making the world a better place and how we all fit into that and how we all can help and, just take wherever we are on the ladder of sustainability, wherever you are, because there's a lot of people who, aren't even recycling yet. For whatever reason, that's not a part of their life, right? And then you have people like me who are building a whole big greenhouse, And so I'm very passionate about trying to kind of get everybody, no matter where they are, onto that. So we have been green lighted, to do a pilot. And
Wonderful.
Yep. Yep, so that's all good. And so now we're in the stage where we have to find sponsors.
Okay.
And so this is where I have to just kind of keep in the light. Like, it feels like it hasn't come as fast as I would like. But we do actually have a couple of, really big companies who are looking at that and considering about sponsoring this first pilot. And that's where we are on that.
Okay, so anyone in the listening audience, be you a small-time builder or whatever, please get in touch with Lisa and Donna. Give them the website again, please, if you want to possibly be a sponsor of this wonderful, innovative green show that has been approved by PBS. They just need sponsors. So give them the website again, please.
Heart and Soul Real Estate .com.
S-O-L, H-E-A-R-T. A-N-D-S-O-L, real estate? .com, okay?
Yeah.
So then
I have a personal site. I have a personal site, too, which is lisavail.com.
Okay.
And I'd love if anybody who is interested in just a fun blog to follow, my blog, eco-awesome.com is where I blog about my attempts to try to live greener, my forays into trying to eat healthier, and all kinds of fun stuff. Try to keep it fun and light and full of personality, and I'd love for anybody who would love to check that out.
I think that you guys have done, you ladies have done a wonderful job tonight. So in the last 8 minutes, what I want to do, Donna, I want both you and Lisa to give an outro. Donna, you have such a wonderful philosophy about life as well as Lisa, but I know I've seen you put into practice your love for humanity. I know you're doing equine therapy with girls that have been abused. So you have interests outside of real estate as well. But what can people bring to their lives? What metaphysical principles, Donna, can people use, particularly as it relates to real estate and or things other than real estate? And let me just see someone just, if you have a question for Lisa or Donna, please call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. 818-572-8023 and press 1. Please call in now because the show is about to end in about 8 minutes. So, Donna, give us your philosophy in terms of how people can come to the two of you, not only about real estate, but just apply these principles to every area of their lives, because you are someone who's done it. You live your life by these principles. You work with abused young teenagers, young women, and you're passionate about this, and you've made it work in your life, and I've seen how you've resurrected your life, so, and have heard about it. So just share with them your philosophy within 3 or 4 minutes about how people can turn their lives around and how you can assist them with not only real estate, but just being positive about life.
I live my life and, just each day, I'm real, I'm real, and each day, I started on this spiritual quest 18 years ago, and, it was some bottoms, Life gets real at times, and I think we've got to be real and authentic and vulnerable, and not like smiley face and everything's perfect and everything's joyful and
feel the feelings.
Yeah, feel the feelings, exactly, feel the feelings, and when we feel the feelings, that's what I've learned is that, we're centered in our body that way, and when we're centered in our body, we feel the feelings, then we can really feel God too, and if you're not real, you're not going to feel your higher self and your higher power, you're not in there. So, and another big thing that I, do is, it has to do with the tribal and the community, is I always reach out for help because I had become a single mom, and I was like, I'm going to be super mom and, buy the bacon and bring it home and cook it up in the pan. And although everybody knows, if anybody knows me, I'm not a great cook or anything, but it is. It's about reaching out for help and asking for help and not thinking that we're perfect. And there's nothing interesting anymore to me about being perfect. It's just let's be real. Every day I take time in the mornings to get from the bed right off the bed onto my knees. It's just a practice. And I begin praying, and then I do a meditation, and then I always journal with my left and right hand. I started that 18 years ago. And when you journal with your left and right hand, you're really opening up both sides of your brain. You're opening up, your heart self, your spirit self. And it's amazing what the left side shares, and it's a lot of times my little kid inside sharing different things, all different ages of my inner child. I've done a lot of inner child work, and then I can tell when spirit is coming through my left hand and sharing because it's straight up and down, and I can tell the different ages even of my little kids that come out. So if I don't get still and quiet, then I'm not going to be able to hear all this powerful stuff that comes through, and then the miracles, can start happening and stuff. So,
That is very true. So, if people are looking to invest in real estate or buy in real estate, and they've been told that the market has something to do with it, and not to be courageous like Lisa did. Lisa built her house in the middle of the downturn. And I know each of us has experienced something personally because, like you said, sometimes you have your up moments and sometimes you have your down moments. What words of advice can you tell them in terms of metaphysical practices. And you say you pray, and then you meditate, and then if a house isn't selling, or if a person isn't meeting, isn't able to find the right house, what do you suggest that the person do energetically? Because it's all about energy.
Right. Well, what Lisa and I, like we were saying, is we pray over them, we visualize over them, we write it down,
mm-hmm.
and we pray for, you know, and I've always heard in real estate it's going to be hard, and there's people are difficult to deal with, and we have to look at so many houses, and I don't do anything that way. I'm like, it's going to be easy,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be flowing, it's going to be great people, we're going to have a ball while we're doing it. Because if it's not fun, I don't want to do it.
Right.
So I got to have fun, and I play, and I laugh a lot. And I tell everybody this. I've told Lisa this so many times. When I go meet with somebody, it's always a miracle. I mean, it's amazing. And, I got to share that with you, too.
You don't have time.
Oh, okay.
We're thinking it back to the homeowner.
We have 4 minutes
who's having
left,
trouble
lady.
Selling.
4 minutes left.
Well, I want to make sure, like, to fully answer her question, which
say?
Is about a homeowner who's not.
Oh, I know what I was
going to
say. I know what I was going to say is it's 5% about real estate and 95% about life and love when I meet with the people.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Absolutely.
Okay, Lisa,
so
and the
thinking,
three
yeah.
remaining
well,
number, minutes.
Well, I wanted to add to that about, you know, if somebody is feeling, you know, they're not moving on like they want to. They have their house on the market and it's not working. You know, perhaps it is, you know, something that they have a block with. You know, do you
mm-hmm.
really want to move?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
maybe you say, oh, I want to, but is there something holding you back that's keeping your energy there at that home that's keeping somebody from... you know, from, you know, the right people coming in and loving your home. Because somehow they feel it. This is what I learned from Donna.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm learning this, you know, every day to trust more in that idea. You know, to
mm-hmm.
still use the traditional, to look at your price and, you know, and how does it look. And if you've got all of that set, that all looks real good, there probably is still some more that you might need to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Maybe doing some of that journaling and asking in addition, is there something? There's something holding me back, holding me here at this house.
I like that.
Yeah.
So for those people who want to, they're not wanting to sell, but they want to buy, and they haven't
yeah.
found the perfect house. So it's the same thing. They can journal and really ask themselves if they are ready to make that commitment, because sometimes people have fear, I can't pay the mortgage or whatever, and that would block
True.
The process too,
because
Absolutely. You have to do the inner work. So what Donna and Lisa are saying, which is so powerful, first let's do our inner work for anything, be it a new job, a house, a relationship. Do your inner work and go within and ask your inner presence, your inner God, the little child within you, what is the truth about this? And then it will come up. With surface.
Mm.
Ladies, we're about to end the show, but please give people the information that they need again to get in contact with you for this dynamic duo and your names
mm-hmm.
and then information.
Okay. My name is Donna Brooks, and my cell phone is the best way to get a hold of me. It's 770-294-9228.
Repeat that again.
And yeah, 770-294-9228.
Okay, Lisa,
and,
quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lisa Grant Vail, 404-771-2828.
Again?
404-771-2828, or Lisa Grant Vail at Mac. MAC.com.
Okay. And your website again?
Is heartandsoulrealestate.com.
Okay. Well, ladies, it's been a pleasure. I just enjoyed having you on the air. There have been several people on the board, and I guess your information was so very enlightening that they chose not to ask questions, and sometimes that happens. And for those of you who know people who were not able to listen, please have them listen to the archive show. And I thank you, Ms. Donna Brooks, spiritual real estate entrepreneur. I thank you, Ms. Lisa Vail, spiritual real estate entrepreneur. Both of you are just awesome, and we thank you for being on the show. And for those of you who are listening, please join us next week, and have a wonderful rest of the week, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great night. Bye-bye.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.